All right, everyone. Good afternoon. It's great to be here. And, coming from Hawaii, we're very concerned with climate change, obviously, with sea level rise and living on an island. And, coming here to Boston, I think maybe people are a little bit less concerned because it's freezing. But obviously, it's something affecting all of us. And so what we're interested in this is looking at how do municipal officials think that their role, that they play a role in mitigating climate change. So very interesting kind of looking across the country and seeing what was happening. So here are my co-authors from around the country, and this actually is a sub-analysis off a larger study where Stephanie Lemon from UMass Medical School right down the road in Worcester is the PI. And I have no relationship to disclose. And this research is supported by a cooperative agreement with the CDC to our Physical Activity Policy Research Network. So this is a network of 20 institutions across the country looking at physical activity policy, and in this case, climate change policy. So as many of you know, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reported in their 2013 summary report that the warming of the climate is unequivocal and unprecedented. Ice sheets are melting, sea levels rising, human influence on the climate system is clear. The global surface temperature is likely to exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius by the end of the century, and these changes will have large effects on fresh water, sea level rise, and ocean acidification. So, of course, not surprising to anybody here, but, clear and present threat to the public health of the planet. In terms of U.S. effects, we'll be seeing increased heat waves, decreased productivity in farms and fisheries, increased intensity of hurricanes and storm surges, increased droughts, increased flooding in coastal areas, increased coral bleaching, increased pests and disease, and major effects on the economy. And all these are having direct or indirect effects on the public's health. From the California Climate Change Portal, local governments have important roles to play in efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Local governments are at the forefront of attempts to adapt to the ongoing and anticipated impacts of climate change. And I think what's interesting about this is when we think about climate change, we think about large international treaties. We think about what can the U.S. government, what can China, India do to reduce emissions. But a lot of what gets done on the local level. And I think we haven't seen as much emphasis on local policymakers and how they actually affect change. We're waiting for the big treaties for the U.S. to sign the treaties. And we know in public health that most of the successes we've had have taken place on the local level. So if we look at the emphasis on smoking reduction, that didn't happen because we banned smoking indoors nationally, did it? It happened because we worked state by state, municipality by municipality to make the changes. And really, the success happened at the local level. And once we have enough success at the local level, it tends to push the national level. And I think the same could be said for climate change and reducing emissions. If we look at the NACHO website, or NACHO, I like calling it NACHO. They don't like it as much. I'm like, NACHO is public health. It makes sense. Unless action is taken to curb global climate change, for the next 10 years, the Earth will pass a tipping point beyond which devastating consequences become unavoidable. It's critical that America's public health systems understand and adapt to the health implications of climate change. So this is, national health officers are saying that we've got to do this. Our advocacy groups are saying we have to take action on climate change. So of course, right, public health people are going to see this as an important part of their job, right? Well, even more literature. If we look at a nationwide study of local health department directors, found that most perceive it to be an important and growing problem, but few had made it a priority. So people are seeing it. These are local health department directors saying, well, we know it's important, but it's not the most important thing in my department. A study in Hawaii that I did back a few years ago found that state and county officials rated climate change as the 9th out of 23 most important health and social problems facing the state. So in Hawaii, it's considered a major problem because of being an island state, and because sea level rise, if we see a 1 meter sea level rise, Waikiki, the entire area of Waikiki will go underwater. So it's fairly important for us and fairly immediate. A study of local health departments in New York found departments had uncertainty about their ability to adapt to climate change. So really what we're seeing kind of across the country is this worry about climate change, but really not concrete that people can do about it, that they can prioritize it, that they can make changes with it. So the objective of this study was to assess if local decision makers across the U.S. felt that addressing climate change was part of their job and a community priority. So we targeted elected and appointed municipal officials from 94 cities with 50,000 residents or more, as determined by the 2010 census, We were in 8 states across the country, and this is where we had our investigators, so it made it easier. But you can see fairly, nice cross-section, Colorado, Georgia, Hawaii, Kansas, Massachusetts, Missouri, North Carolina, and West Virginia. So a nice section across the country. Elected officials included mayors and municipal legislators, and appointed officials included city and town managers, heads of departments, staff of planning, community development, economic development, public works, transportation, engineering, parks and rec, neighborhood services, and public health. So we try to get a variety of municipal officials in each of these cities. And for cities with no municipal department of public health, we use the county health departments, which we had 57 that we sampled. The survey included key informant interviews, comprehensive literature reviews, investigator consensus, cognitive interviews, survey program, and usability testing. So it took us about 6 months to put this survey together, and really being comprehensive in the way we did it. And we ended up with a 43-item online survey, and we recruited the participants through personalized emails. So we sent individual emails to every person selected in our target group. Non-responders got an email reminder and up to 3 phone call reminders. And that's why we did it on state by state. So, you know, my group did all the Hawaii ones. Stephanie's group did all the Massachusetts. The survey participants were asked how important 11 issues were in the day-to-day responsibilities of their current position. One of these was climate change or energy conservation, and this was on a 1-5 Likert scale. The same 11 issues were also asked if they thought their community members thought the local government should take action to address these issues. Respondents' positions were classified into 1 of 7 categories. Respondents' positions, so that's if they work for Parks and Rec, public health, etc. Gender, ethnicity, and education was selected along as political ideology. And that was both on social and economic, from liberal to conservative. We invited a lot of people, 1,773, and we got a 26% response rate, which it's a tough group to get because they're very busy, but we did get adequate sample size, knowing that we will have some bias from getting a low response rate. But 461 people from 83 different municipalities completed surveys. We excluded 8 people who reported multiple departments, so they said they worked in park and rec and transport, for a final of 453 respondents. Poor Stephanie, as the PI, was very sad that right here in Massachusetts was our worst level of responders, only 12%, and 38% in North Carolina. The majority of the respondents were male, 70%, white, 78%, and held a college degree or higher, 59%. So the first question that we ask is, how important is this issue in your day-to-day responsibilities of your position? So you can see that economic development and revitalization was number one, and climate change and poor obesity, for me, I'm in the physical activity section, came out last. And so you can see these are two that really weren't seen by most of the people as priorities in their job, were things like vulnerable populations, livability, public health, traffic safety came up much higher. And then we said, how supportive do you think residents in your community are of local government action? And again, climate change came out 10. So people really across the board see climate change as really something that not only is not part of their job, but it's not something that residents in their community support taking action towards, which, you know, to me is very surprising, because we have a clear and present problem, but people say, well, I don't think my community thinks this is important. And pretty much across the board when you're coming out 10th of 11th. Of course, there were state differences on the climate change variable, from Hawaii, which scored the highest in both of them, and, by quite a bit, down to West Virginia and Kansas, which didn't see this as important at all. And obviously, fairly along a political spectrum that you might expect in these states. We're Barack Obama's birthplace, so we tend to be very blue state, and scored highest, where Kansas and West Virginia are quite different, but a fairly large, a 1-point range on both items on a 5-point scale, it's a fairly major difference. We also saw differences on job differences, and you can see elected officials rated climate change as the most important part of their job. What's sad about this is that public health rated it as the least important part of their job. And they also felt there was the least community support. So these are local public health officials are seeing are thinking there's the least community support. I mean, I can understand some of the job pieces, but the community support, they really don't think that the community supports work on climate change, which is very interesting and very surprising for me. Now, the p-value is not significant overall, but if we take public health and we compare that to everybody else, it is significantly lower. And so when you don't break it up into all the categories, you see that public health is significantly lower than every other job class together. If we look in differences on climate change variables by political ideology, we see that liberals are significantly more likely than moderates and conservatives, both in their job responsibility and in community support, and the same is true for fiscal. And not surprising there, I wouldn't have expected that, but this is obviously, we think about a lot of the political ideology on the national level, but this is really getting down into the local community level, and it's affecting how much people think it's part of their job. And you would think if you're a park and rec person, that your political ideology wouldn't affect how much you think something's part of your job, but it certainly did in this sample. So conclusions, overall, climate change was not considered an essential part of the job or to have high level of community support among local officials. Local officials do not think that community members support local government work on climate change. There are significant differences in beliefs by state. Local public health directors had the lowest endorsement of both their job and community support for climate change interventions. Liberals thought climate change was part of the job more than conservatives. And really, I think we need targeted educational efforts. Maybe need to change these attitudes. I think that, if we're going to work and we're going to have success in reducing carbon emission, mitigating climate change, I think we need to get to the local level. I think most of the conversation has been at the national and global level and has not been at the municipal level. And I think we need to change that conversation because that's where the change is going to happen. And we know that there are municipalities doing very well at this, and there are also the ones that are not doing well, and we're all going to be affected by this. And so I think it's something important. The limitation, of course, is that there's only 8 states in this. We didn't have all the states, but at least they were mixed across the country. And the non-response, of course, may be systematically different than the response, and we don't know that. It was actually impossible for us, there were a little bit of differences by job type, where elected officials were more likely than others to respond. And response on climate change included energy conservation, which may have limited the scope of some of the responses, because we're asking both together. And I'll leave you with this picture of Tuvalu, which is a neighboring Pacific island, where they're seeing mass flooding. They're actually seeing the water come up from below the island and will be uninhabitable within 50 years. And so for those of us in the Pacific, this is a very important issue, and we're hoping everyone else takes it seriously soon, because if not, we'll all be underwater. So thank you very much for your time, and I guess we'll have to run to my next session. I guess we're going to take questions now.
Yes. I
think it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, certainly we do collect a lot of the temperature on Mauna Kea, and some of the world temperature is collected in Hawaii, but also just the recognition that we are an island state, that we've been, looking a lot at mitigation. We're much more not in emissions control versus, hey, the sea level is going to rise and we are going to have lots of places underwater. And I think also just the fact that we're about an 80% Democratic state and very liberal in our kind of political attitudes, that all those together kind of contribute to us being kind of on the forefront of this. Yeah, that's a good point. And we didn't look at that, and we did our best. We had a 26% response rate too, and so we took everybody from the municipality, and it depended who responded. So it's a good point. I think it's something we definitely look at. Yes?
The early examples that you gave of grassroots movements that have been successful, seat belts, recycle,
right.
Don't smoke, that's an individual decision, and how to do the individual decision.
Right.
On climate change, it just seems like big issue. And recently I just studied the lab, I just stayed on it forever and ever and ever, looking at all the ways that individuals can impact climate change. And the two things that kept coming up were dry land and also plant trees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the light bulb thing is okay, but again, how many people are going to buy into that?
Yeah.
So from a public health perspective, what do you think would help make the issue rubber bands and aluminum foil. I know that the victory mm-hmm. garden is worthwhile.
Yes.
But for PR, we have Madison Avenue telling people to do a lot of things
right.
that weren't really helping in the war effort, but it made them feel as if they were helping in the war effort. So I don't want an answer that feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, I think one of the difficulties we have with climate change is that carbon emissions are invisible, right? And it's a worldwide issue that you contribute to carbon, and it doesn't affect my community. It affects the global release. And so it is trying to, how do you bring that back to the individual? And I think, you know, most of my research is in physical activity. And so we actually spend a lot of time trying to get people out of their cars, walking and biking. And so I think what a lot of it might be is really what are the other benefits that you get from reducing your carbon footprint? Why should you be buying local fruits and vegetables? Why you should be walking and biking whenever it's possible? And how does this contribute to your individual health as well as the greater common good? And I think we really haven't made that connection in a lot of ways. And I know in the physical activity world, we're always trying to push people to get out of their cars. And that's the biggest thing. If you give up your car, you can take all the other changes, and you're making a bigger change just by getting out of your car. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We asked climate change in open-ended on there, just saying, is climate change a part of your job? Do you think it? So we didn't specify either way, and I think in a future study it would be good to actually look at, split them both separate. I think you have a really good point there. Oh, sure. You're thinking about mitigation rather than response. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. Thank you.
Well, actually, just following up on that, some of the work that I've done, we've found that people respond better to a question about extreme weather and climate change. Did Joel include that in your survey, or was it just climate?
We didn't put extreme weather. That's a good point.
Did they see that as more directly affecting them when their offline programs are in place related to extreme weather? So then you say and climate change, and the climate change is just looking at preparedness and
right. No, that's a good point. Thank you. Yeah.
I think it's true that many localities are more responsive or requesting of adaptation, but I'd like to suggest that there are a number of interesting ways in which localities, I think, should be challenged to think about mitigation. Mm-hmm. Perhaps your research can look into this. So if we look at the greatest drivers of climate change, I think some of them are very susceptible to local or state action. So getting out of your car is a very hard thing to do with the local transportation system isn't designed somewhere once you get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So questions of mass transportation or urban planning and density developments and so on, I think these are aspects of local government decision making that they should ask at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then if we look at, for example, coal-fired power plants, the greatest emitter, single emitter of CO2 in the United States, it's not often the case that people who work for local governments have the decision making power, but they work kind of around it and sometimes do not decision making power. I would encourage you actually, as you pursue these questions in the future, both to ask about what localities can do in regard to adaptation, but also those kinds of large drivers of mitigation that really aren't in the hands of individuals.
Yeah.
Can I throw in an answer to her? Because you just have the red box? Duck boat.
Duck boats everywhere?
Especially
yes, I know. That'll be how I get to work, which would be very sad. One last question, and then we probably get to the next speaker.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, I work for Nacho, not Nacho.
So. Wait, isn't it more fun to call it Nacho, though? People would love it if it was Nacho.
We catch a fair amount of abuse.
Yeah.
So, working at Nacho, yeah. I've got a policy statement that should be posted up. So, at the same time, I'm scratching my head. That very progressive statement that you had on the slide is not congruent with the findings of your surveys. And do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to present this data. Because you look at the national policy statement and you see, hey, you know, the National Organization of Health Officers is saying this is what we think is important, this is our statement, and then when you go and you actually survey the people, it doesn't come out. And I think that's exactly the point, is that we need to make sure that it's getting into the locales and that local health directors are saying, yeah, this is part of my job, this is something I should be doing. And I think, you know, I was surprised. I mean, this was a study on physical activity. And, you know, because we're interested in physical activity, and when we ran the data, I looked at it and said, whoa, climate change is way lower than I would have thought. In public health, it's the least important. And that's really why I did this. This was not the main AMRS study, but after we ran the data, we saw the results. There's something in here that really is disturbing. It's not what the national organizations are saying in terms of their policy statements. Yeah.
Is this published?
Nope, this is the first time, but I am going to write this up afterwards.
I'll email you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Great.
I know you're trying to leave.
Yep.
What was the timing
of the survey with the income coming down? This was last year, 2012. Yep. This was pre-Sandy. This was last summer. Yeah. So it may have changed, but you know, of course, it's throughout the country. So we didn't have Massachusetts was the only kind of northeastern state that we had. People keep raising their hand. How am I ever going
to
leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably part of it. And I think that's part of our job, is to look at this and say, hey, yeah, to really do this. And that's why I wanted to present it here and, you know, make sure that we get the word out and start looking at how do we work with our municipal health departments and say, this, you know, this probably is something that's important and we should be looking at it and do something about it. So I got to run. Thank you, everyone.